You found Wisconsin's local music authority. This is Mag Zinc Radio. We are local music.
And if you've ever wondered where punk, country, and pure guitar fire collide, look no further than Warren E. Hodges, a founding member of Jason and the Scorchers. Warner helped pioneer the sound that would become known as Americana and alt country, earning the band the Americana Music Association's Lifetime Achievement Award for performance. And he's also shared his talents with Drivin' and Cryin', Dan Baird and Homemade Sin, and his own band. Warner E. Hodges International All-Stars comes to Atwood Fest on Saturday, July 25th, headlining the Sugar Maple stage, and tonight he joins us on Mag Zinc Radio. Warner E. Hodges, welcome to Mag Zinc Radio.
Hey, y'all, how you doing?
We're doing great, man. We're excited to have you come up here to the Mad City. Have you played up here in Madison in the past?
I have played Madison, but it's been years. It was back with the Scorchers. We did Madison, but it would probably be 90s or early 2000s the last time I played there.
Oh, wow. Fun.
But yeah, we used to do it all the time. It was on the tour schedule in the old days.
Oh, great. Well, we're glad to bring you back here to Madison. Warner, before we hear about some of your legendary career, tell us about your backstory. I mean, how did you get started playing music?
Well, my parents were musicians. My mom was a country singer. I mean, hardcore 50s, crying your beer country music.
Yeah.
Loretta Lynn, Tammy Wynette kind of stuff. And my dad was a player. And my dad was in the U.S. military. And when he retired in 1973, they moved to Nashville to pursue a record deal for my mother.
Wow.
They were still pretty young. My dad was 43. My mom was 36. And I had been playing drums in their band for a couple of years at the time.
Nice.
I started playing drums with them when I was 10 years old professionally. And, you know, it didn't work out for them, but it put me in, I could not have been in a better town in the 70s for music. You know, Nashville was a powder keg, but it was still a little sleepy town that just hadn't blown up yet.
Right.
And I was in the right place at the right time in the mid to late 70s.
Well, that's pretty cool. So you've been in music pretty much all your life at this point.
Yeah, it's a weird one thinking about it. I was thinking about it today. It's 57 years, dude. That's a long time.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a long time.
Wow, that's pretty crazy. Well, now tell us about your early career with Jason and the Scorchers. I mean, you're one of the founding members, and that band was, as we said, recognized for the Americana Music Association's Lifetime Achievement Award. Tell us about that.
Well, when we started, I had went to school with a guy named Perry Baggs, our drummer. Perry was a couple of years younger than me. We went to high school together, and we ended up hooking up with a East Nashville a friend of ours named Jeff Johnson, who played bass, and we kind of put together our own little band. And when Jason moved to town, he met Jeff. Jeff brought me in. I brought Perry in, and boom, we were off and running.
Wow.
It was kind of a weird band, though, because everybody was on a different instrument. Perry was a keyboard player and singer playing drums. I was a drummer playing guitar, and Jeff was a guitar player playing bass. So,
wow,
it was a different dynamic.
Oh, that's pretty interesting how it all happened. And
oh yeah.
And tell us about, you know, that band kind of rose to some modern fame as well.
Yeah, we lucked up. I mean, I don't know. I shouldn't say lucked up. We worked very hard. We spent a couple of years riding around in Jason's Ford and Econoline van, and we got ourselves to the point where we could go to almost any place in the continental U.S. and play to a couple hundred people any night of the week.
Yeah.
And EMI Records liked that. We managed to sell 30,000 EPs out of our manager's garage pre-internet.
Well, that's a feat.
That's a big feat, you know, and we lucked up. EMI Records liked us, signed us. We added a Bob Dylan cover to that record and remixed it and reissued it And it had already won the New York Times EP of the Year in 83, but it won it in 84. And somebody told me they wanted to give it to us in 85, too. But we were like, we've already won it twice. You know, let's move along. We're going to have all the other bands hating us.
Right. Well, let's give the drummer some. How did you meet Georgia Satellites and current generation Jones drummer from Madison, Mauro Magellan?
Oh, I love me some Mauro Magellan. The guy that basically did all of the Georgia Satellites demos and all that, a guy named Kevin Jennings, that kind of, you know, he wasn't their manager, but he was their, you know, guidance, trying to help them get a foot in the door. He was the drum tech for Jason and the Scorchers. Mm. And he played Jason and I a song called Keep Your Hands to Yourself.
Yeah.
On a cassette. And Jason actually took that cassette to our managers. And I mean, those guys went from playing to 10 or 12 people to in 90 days, they were playing Arrowhead Stadium opening up for Bob Seger.
Wow. You
know? But I lucked up their first record when it come out. They were on tour with us. We did like 3 months together, them opening for the Scorchers. And I had known Dan and Ricky, but I met Mauro at the time. So I've known Mauro since like 1985. And, quite honestly, my Mount Rushmore of rock and roll drummers, Mauro Magellan is one of them.
Wow.
I've been very fortunate that I also played in Dan's later band, Dan Baird and Homemade Sin, with Mauro for 13, 14 years.
Oh, wow.
And when the spot came open in my band, he was my first call. So.
Well, that's pretty cool. Well, that's how I found out about you. Mauro gave me an email and he said, "Hey, Rocker Man, you got to check out this band I play with." And what do you know?
Yeah, I'm glad he hooked us up. I really am. We're so looking forward to coming up there.
Oh, that's going to be fun. And Warner E. Hodges, International All Stars, is coming to Madison to perform at Atwood Fest, headlining the Sugar Maple stage on Saturday, July 25th at 8:15 p.m. They'll go to 10 p.m. And tell us about the band that you're bringing in and what kind of show this will be.
Excuse me. Well, we'll have Mauro Magellan, of course, on drums. Bassist or bass, who also the Absolutely track you just played, that's Mauro playing on that record.
Oh, I was wondering then.
Oh yeah, that's Mauro. Our bassist is a guy named King Vogley. He played with the Bottle Rockets.
Oh sure.
Marshall Crenshaw, he's an ungodly bass player and even better singer. He's a great singer. Myself on guitar, and I'm bringing my buddy Joe Blanton from Nashville, who has produced my last four records, I guess. He's going to be the other guitar player, other singer, which is going to be great.
Wow. And, you know, what happens at a Warner E. Hodges? I mean, you guys seem, you know, sometimes almost country, but sometimes, you know, almost hard rock and roll, and sometimes boogie woogie. I mean,
it's a little bit of all of it. My dad used to say there's two kinds of music, good and bad.
Yeah.
I love that. You know,
right.
My dad's he turned me on to Parliament Funkadelic and the Rolling Stones, you know.
Oh, yes.
My father even saw the good in the Sex Pistols. He was like, the boy can't sing, but he's got good lyrics. <you know?
laughs> I don't know about that bass player, though.
We try to start a little fire between us, and then if things get off and running right, it just becomes who can add another log to the fire. That's the plan, you know.
You know, I was reading online about when you joined up with Drivin' and Cryin'. For some touring and stuff, and they seemed, you know, really inspired by you and your playing when you joined that band. Talk about your time playing with Drivin' and Cryin'.
And that was I love the Drivin' and Cryin' guys. They've been friends of mine for 35-40 years. I played with them for about 6 years, and the first night when I played with them, I knew one song. We played like a 5,000-6,000 seat outdoor thing. I knew one song. Kenny, the singer, he's going to make me a set list. I'm still waiting on that set list. so it was, I've always been able to kind of just get up and make it work. And that one was a really difficult one to do, but I found that that's what they were looking for. They wanted me to bring new stuff to their songs. They didn't want anything planned out. And it was a load of fun playing because they had 175-180 songs and I knew one.
That's a heck of a repertoire. That's a lot of songs to learn.
It was a pretty scary thing at first, but once I realized what they were after out of me, it became quite a bit easier. And I love playing with them. I do it at the drop of a hat again now.
Wow, that sounds so fun. You know, true to your name, you're heading out in the fall for another Euro tour. What do you love about the European audiences? Because, you know, I mean, when I was booking you and talking to you before Atwood Fest here, most of the time it seemed like you were over in Europe playing shows.
Well, I've kind of lucked up via Dan Baird's situation. When Dan retired, he started talking about retiring 4 or 5 years before he did. When he started talking about it, when I put together a solo band, because I knew Dan was going to walk in one day to a show and go, okay, that's it. And it happened, but it was about 5 years. I didn't want to be at point zero. I was 5 years into it, had a couple records under my belt, and was slowly starting to get a following from my solo stuff. But his whole organization, the manager of the record, everything fell in my lap. When Dan quit, All of that just kind of fell into my lap. Places that wouldn't hire me the year before wanted to know if I'd come that year, you know? Kind of my whole organization is over there, as crazy as it sounds. And I got to where I had up until Morrow and Keith joined my band a year ago, I had all British musicians. And trying to come back here and work with those guys, you know, work papers are ridiculous.
That's challenging.
Yeah, it was very challenging. So I just, you know, now that we've got three Americans in the band, counting myself, it makes it a lot easier to look at doing some American shows.
Well,
I've
that's
been getting
great.
Offers for American shows for years, but just not being able to do them, you know.
Well, we're sure glad you could take this one.
Me too.
What's coming up for you in the future? And how do we keep track of you online?
WarnerEHodges.com is where everything is. We're doing this Atwood Fest thing Saturday the 25th. I can't wait. And then we go to Europe September 9th or 10th for a couple of months. And then I'm going to have my left knee replaced when I get back from that. Really looking forward to that.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, I got a decent hole, and then I do Outlaw Country Cruise 11 in March next year.
Nice. Warner, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us tonight on Max Inc. Radio. We really appreciate it and can't wait to see you at Atwood Fest.
Thank you, Rocker.
Find all the music schedule, the full music schedule, videos, social media links, and Spotify playlists for all the bands playing at Atwood Fest this year at www.atwoodfest.com. Right now, let's keep it up with a little more Warner E. Hodges. This is Gunslinger. You're listening to Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
On my hip, certified gunslinger. Now don't you make a slip. Ain't got no money, don't got no name. Done sold my soul, and I'm to blame. And I might die young, gotta live free, but I ain't gonna dance from the hanging tree.
Shop local, eat local, listen local. This is Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.